This is part B of the Kingdom of God in the Gospels, number 3. Now let's continue on here in Luke 14. And here's something that we really need to grasp and understand. Now he was at a lunch in one of the Pharisees' house here, chapter 14. And then someone stood up and said, "Blessed is the one who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Now notice, verse 15. Then one of those who sat at the table with him, after hearing these things, said to him, "Blessed is the one who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." And he said to him, "A certain man made a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servants at supper time to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But everyone with one consent began to excuse himself. The first one said to him, 'I bought a field and I need to go out to see it. I beg of you, have me excused.' And another said, 'I bought 5 pairs of oxen, I laid out a lot of money for those, Lord, and I'm going to try them out. I beg you to have me excused.' And another man said, 'I've married a wife, and because of this, I'm unable to come.' And so the servant came and reported these things to his Lord. Then the master of the house was angry, and he said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. Bring here the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Sir, it has been done as you commanded, and there is still room.' Then his Lord said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, not one of these men who were invited shall taste of my supper.'" Now that's a parable of Judea and Jerusalem during the days of Christ leading up to the destruction in 70 AD. They didn't listen. They wouldn't hear. Oh, there were some Jews who did. There were a good many of them that did. But compared to the overall population, there were very few indeed. And Jesus knew that the scribes and the Pharisees wouldn't. He knew that the priest wouldn't. Because, you see, they wouldn't accept him. Because they were looking for a king. We'll see that in just a minute. And even the people wanted to make him king, as we'll see in a little bit. And see what Jesus told them. But here with this, after speaking to the Pharisees and all of those, how should we say, dignitaries at lunch, then he left. And as he left, verse 25, and great multitudes were going with him, and he turned and said to them. Now here's something we've always got to keep in mind. And that is counting the cost. So Jesus laid it out right here. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife, that is, love him more, and children and brothers and sisters, and in addition his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So then he says, you got to sit down and count the cost. So we always need to remember that. Nothing, no one, no person should come between you and Christ at any time. Whatever God asks us to do, we are to do. Because that's the teachings of Jesus in the Gospels. And he's teaching us how, then, to attain to the kingdom of God. Now let's come on and let's look at another parable here. Let's come to Luke, the 19th chapter. Luke 19, since we're in the book of Luke, we could go to some other parts in Matthew, but let's come here to Luke 19. Let's pick it up here in verse 11. Now, as they were listening to these things, Jesus went on to speak a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. A lot of them did, because they, as we started out, they read the prophecies. Well, he's going to rule in a kingdom. He's going to sit on the throne of David. It's going to be in Jerusalem, and look at this wonderful man. He's got to be the one. So he gave this parable, verse 12. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman set out to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and to return. And after calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 pounds and said to them, trade until I come back. Now, this is very interesting, isn't it? Because he gave them a mission statement to do, and they had to exercise their free choice to do it, but according to his will, of course. But notice, but his citizens hated him and sent an ambassador after him, saying, we're not willing to have this man reign over us. And it came to pass that he returned after receiving the kingdom, and he directed those servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, in order that he might know what each one had gained by trading. And the first one came up saying, Lord, your pound has produced 10 pounds. Then he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. Now this is also telling us that those who attain to the kingdom of God are going to have authority. Authority to rule. He also told the disciples, when they wanted to know what reward they were going to have, he said, you're going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So that also showed that they would be there. So here, authority over 10 cities. And the second one came saying, Lord, your pound has made 5 pounds. And the Lord also said to this one, and you be over 5 cities. But another came saying, Lord, look, here's your pound, which I kept laid up in a napkin, for I was afraid of you, because you are a harsh man, and you take up what you did not lay down, and you reap what you did not sow. Then he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a harsh man, taking up what I did not lay down, and reaping what I did not sow. Then why didn't you deposit my money in the bank, so that at my coming I might have received it with interest? Now notice, those who are slothful and lazy and will not produce and will not build that house on the rock, and those who find every excuse not to do the will of God, here's what's going to happen. And he said to those who were standing by, take the pound from him and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. And he answered by saying, for I tell you that to everyone who has, more shall be given. But the one who does not have, even what he has, shall be taken from him. And so there are going to be a lot of surprises at the resurrection, right? Yes, indeed. That's why you have to know the Word of God, know the truth of God, use the truth of God, build on the truth of God. Let it be in your heart and your mind and everything that you do, so that you become totally converted, so that you can be part of the one who gained 10 pounds and part of the ones who gained 5 pounds, and not the ones who just took it and laid it up in a napkin and expected to be given eternal life. Notice what else happens. Verse 27. Moreover, bring my enemies, those who were not willing for me to reign over them, and slay them here before me. Well, that's pretty harsh, right? But they are the enemies. See, God judges by the fruits, and the fruits are determined by His Word. And His Word tells us what we need to do. That's why it's important we understand the Word of God, we rightly divide the Word of God, and we use it in a way that is proper. Then we won't have to worry about that. Now let's come to John, the 6th chapter, and let's see that by the time it came toward the end of His ministry, many were expecting the Messiah. And because of all the miracles that Jesus was doing, the healing of the sick, the raising of the dead, the raising of Lazarus especially from the dead, that was an amazing, amazing thing. But all along they were expecting the Messiah to come. So let's look at an incident that happened before His final entrance into Jerusalem, and this was several years before that. Let's come to John, the 6th chapter, and this was after He fed the 5,000. And the people wanted to know where He was. And they were ready to seize Him and set Him up as king. So let's pick it up here in verse 13, after the disciples had gathered up the 12 baskets full of the fragments, verse 13, John 6, from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Now when the men saw the miracle that Jesus had done, they said, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." So you see, they understood, the people in His day really understood. They said, "Who was to come into the world?" But Jesus perceived that they were about to come and seize Him so that they might make Him king, because they were looking for the Messiah. So He withdrew Himself again into a mountain by Himself alone. And then He walked across the sea, appeared to His disciples, and on the next day, verse 22, the multitude standing on the other side of the sea who observed that no other small ship was there beside the one into which the disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not gone into the small ship with His disciples, but His disciples had departed. And they wanted to find Him. Verse 24. Accordingly, when the multitude saw that Jesus was not there, nor His disciples, they also went into the ships and came to Capernaum, looking for Jesus. And after finding Him on the other side of the sea, they said to Him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And He answered them and said, now notice, He didn't answer the question. "Truly, truly, I say to you, you did not seek me because you saw the miracles, but because you ate the bread and were satisfied." So He said, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures unto eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for Him has God the Father sealed." Therefore, they said to Him, "What shall we do in order that we ourselves may do the works of God?" A lot of people want that. They want to know, "What should I do?" It's all right here in the book. That's what you should do. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." Must believe in Jesus. That is the true work of God, and it comes from inside. And it is not just a quality of looking and seeing and analyzing as they did when they saw Jesus, but it's a quality of faith and belief from the inside, so that you may attain to the kingdom of God. Not to make Him king, Now let's come to John, the 12th chapter, and let's also see where, as he was ready to enter into the city, notice what they said. Let's pick it up here. Verse 12, John 12. On the next day, a great crowd of people who had come for the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, took branches and palm trees and went out to meet him and were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Yes, he's coming. He's coming to Jerusalem. He's going to come to the scribes and the Pharisees in the temple, and they are going to anoint him the Messiah, and we are going to have peace. We're going to be saved from our enemies. No, that's not what happened. Now, after finding a young donkey, Jesus sat on it, exactly as it is written. "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes, sitting on a colt of a donkey." And so, the Pharisees got all upset, and they said, "Look, the whole world's going after him, what are we going to do?" And they said it in their hearts that they were going to kill him. So that's quite a thing. And so, Jesus could have set up his kingdom then, but that wasn't the way and the time nor how it's going to be done. Now, here's one thing for sure that you find only in the Gospels. How Jesus is going to return. Because he ascended into heaven. But here he tells us how he's going to return. We've seen this before. Let's come to Book of Matthew, chapter 24. It's not going to be like you're seeing him coming into to Jerusalem on a donkey. It's not going to be because the people accept him. It's not going to be because some people are just worshiping and adoring him because he fed the 5,000, he fed the 4,000, he healed the sick, he raised the dead. No, that wasn't when he was going to set up the kingdom. So that's why we have here in Matthew 24. First, he tells us there's a great tribulation coming. And we know we're getting closer to that every single day. So here's the warning that comes, how we are to know Jesus is going to return and set up the kingdom of God. Verse 23, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here's the Christ.'" See, because there's an Antichrist coming. And the Antichrist is going to be a man. And he's going to be proclaimed God in the flesh. And he's going to have dominion over all languages and nations and kindreds and people. That's why Jesus said, someone said he's here or he is there. Do not believe it. Yet people will. "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and they shall present great signs and wonders in order to deceive, if possible, the elect. Now behold, I foretold it to you. Therefore, if they say to you, 'Come and see,' he's in the wilderness. Do not go forth. 'Come and see,' he's in the secret chambers. Do not believe it." Because he himself said how it's going to happen, and I covered this in a recent sermon, how that he's going to shake the heavens, shake the earth, roll back the heavens as a scroll. All of that's prophesied in the Old Testament, but it's brought together in the New and in the book of Revelation. "For as the light of day, it's going to come from heaven. It's not going to come on the earth. It's going to be Christ himself returning. It's not going to be a man coming. For as the light of day, which comes forth from the east and shines as far as the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That's how it's going to be. Not going to be any other way. And this is important for us to realize. Christ alone is going to bring the kingdom, and then he's going to resurrect the saints. Notice what he says here. Verse 29, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Not someone on the earth, not a man, but Christ, coming with the power of the Father, in full glory and splendor. And they shall see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Then he also gives this to us, that we will know it isn't going to happen until the resurrection. We are not going to see it until the resurrection. Verse 31, then he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So then he gives indications how these things will happen. Verse 32. Then he says in verse 32, now learn this parable from the fig tree. Now this is very interesting, because a thought occurred to me that helps us understand about this generation. When its branches have already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So this is telling us this tree is in parable, showing the events that are happening at the end time. So this is not the generation in which Jesus was living. When it says this generation, it's referring to the generation when this fig tree is putting forth its leaves, which means this, verse 33, in like manner also, when you see all these things. So you've got to have all of them. Now, all the things means not only everything that he has said, but everything that's in the prophets relating to the events leading up to the return of Jesus Christ, everything that's in the Gospels leading up to it, everything that is in the epistles leading up to it. It all has to be together. I say to you, this generation, when all of these things are there, shall in no wise pass away till all these things have taken place. The heaven and the earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Now, as we're finishing this, we'll end up by finishing here about what we need to do in waiting for the kingdom of God. Now, it's very important because here we are at a time in our history where around the world never has there been more trouble. Never have we had a time when all nations are on the brink of bankruptcy. And that's going to have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen in the future. And these things that are going to lead to the false kingdom of Satan the devil. So here's what we are to do. Let's come down here. He tells us, verse 36, but concerning that day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels, but my Father only. Now, we can come to some pretty close guesses, but even at that, we cannot know beyond what the prophecies and the Word of God tell us. So he gives us a warning. Now, as it was in the days of Noah, when they were so corrupt and everyone's imagination was evil from his youth up. And we're seeing that today as never before. So it's coming. It's coming. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware till the flood came. And God had a special, how should we say, a special surprise for them that deceived them into thinking right at the last week that Noah was stupid and foolish and insane. And that was because Noah and all the animals and his family were sealed in the ark for 1 week before it started to rain. So I imagine, and I've thought of this, what if you had television cameras out there? What if you had news reporters all around? Yeah, we've seen this guy building this ark for all these years, and his son's with him. And you know, about 3 days ago, the strangest thing happened. Two of certain animals came, and then of other animals, there were seven pair. And they all went into the ark. And look, they've been there 6 days and nothing has happened. Now let's talk to this important person over here. What do you think? Well, I think this is a good indication that Noah was you know, he was a little touched up here. And he certainly was a false prophet because, look, the ark is built. The animals are in there and they're all in there and all sealed up. It hasn't started to rain. There's no rain. Look, it's 6 days, not a drop has fallen. I don't think that that was accurate. Wait one more day. See, they were unaware until the flood came and took them all away. So also shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Yes, indeed. They're not going to believe it. Because in understanding prophecy, we can know that regardless of how bad things get right now, in order for the other prophecies to be fulfilled, there's got to be a coming out of this economic problems that we have, and then the beast will be ushered in, not before. Let's come down here to verse 42. Watch, therefore, because you do not know in what hour your Lord is coming. And we can carry that out in two things. One, the literal return of Christ, and two, the end of your life. You don't know when it's coming. Because if you die in the faith, the next thing you're going to know is you're going to be taken by the angels up to the sea of glass, and you're going to know it's the return of Christ. But in the meantime, we've got to be watching. Watch things that take place in the world. Watch our lives. Watch how we conduct ourselves. Watch everything so that we realize that it's going to come when God knows that it will come. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have been watching and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at a time that you do not think. And how many times have we lived through this cycle, only to see the words of Christ are true? Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord shall set over his household to give them food in due season? Are you faithful? Are you wise? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Always doing the will of God. Always loving God, serving God, keeping his commandments, keeping his feast days, keeping his Sabbath days, being faithful in everything that God has given to us to be faithful in and to do what is right. Notice, Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his property. The others, they're going to suffer. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. So you see, here's the lesson. You're not going to speed it up. You're not going to slow it down. It's coming at the exact time that God the Father and Jesus Christ have determined. Now we can analyze the events, but we don't know. So if we begin saying, he's delaying his coming, and shall begin to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, go out in the world, do what the world does, physically, spiritually, have we not seen that? We saw a whole church of God disintegrate from this very thing. What did a lot of people do? Oh, well, I guess that was never right. And they go out in the world, eat and drink with the drunken. Wait out. It's going to come. It's going to happen. And they're just going to be like the mockers gathered around the ark before it started to rain. And it's going to come to them. Says, the Lord of that servant will come in a day that he does not expect, and in an hour that he does not know, and he shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then what do we have? Two more parables here in Matthew 25. So as you study through the Gospels about the kingdom of God, there's a lot. Every Gospel is full. And there are many lessons that you can learn. I could probably do a series of 35 or 40 sermons going through it, but what I wanted to do during the feast was take the time to show that the Gospels is the connection between the Old and the New Testament. And it's all about Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man. And it's all about his teachings. And it's all about how the kingdom of God is going to come and what we need to do to prepare for it. And so I hope that you avail yourself of that study and apply yourself to it, and I'm sure that you'll learn a whole lot. Well, we'll see you here tomorrow.